The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports, 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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
It's time. Dodgers and Astros. Who will get the revenge? Who will have the top? Who will go home feeling like a bitch? It's coming up next. Blit hits in for the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Well, it's the greatest show in the history of the known universe. Blit hits in for The Blitz. I'm Patrick Creighton, Polar Bear, alongside Jason Braddock, Chocolate Gladiator, Aaron Rabel, Voldemort. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at PCreighton1, at Jason Braddock, at Late Hitters, at Aaron is Blitz, at ESPN97.5, at Your Whole Life Revolves Here. And, of course, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Jason, yesterday wound up being a day kind of prophetic for us. A lot of the things that we said were going to happen on the show happened. Something I sent out on Twitter last night also happened.
I saw that. I mean, he's 50 years old, but we're close to it.
Well, he still throws in the 90s.
What was his record last year? 0-5?
I know that his ERA was somewhat high.
His whip was 1.615.
Yeah, oh, he didn't pitch very well.
but it's
he's an arm. Yeah. And you know what the Astros don't have? Arms.
Fair enough.
Because everybody is hurt.
Fair enough.
But interestingly enough, the Dodgers dealing with the same problem.
Well, that's it. You know, a lot of people, when Verlander, it was announced that he was out for the season, and we covered that yesterday, his response, again. I just looked up at Aaron because I knew at this point he was going to be pissed.
Shame.
I deserve it. I deserve it. Again, it's only when I bring in the tablet,
Aaron.
You
scared the hell out of me. I'm like, what is that noise?
I never use the tablet. I only bring it here for the show. And it's just for the Twitch stream. So I'm trying to pull that up, and I'm working through it. Work with me, guys. Work with me.
So yesterday, the Astros' bats continue to rake. However, the pitching staff continues to have a lot of leaks in it. We got pretty much exactly what we thought we were going to get from Josh James, which was he was going to strike out a bunch of guys, he was going to walk a bunch of guys, and he's going to drive us all crazy. Yeah. He's going to give up a few runs. And this is why I continue to not see Josh James as a long-term starter. You can't be a starting pitcher and just keep walking dudes like that.
No, I definitely understand that. But then on the other side of yesterday, I said I wasn't completely ready to hit that panic button because of the way the bats are. That is one of the reasons I was willing to trade, like, let's say, a Forrest Whitley to get one of those front end of the line starters. Now, let me throw this caveat out there. If you're against trading Forrest Whitley because you believe 2020 is a wasted season, the season won't finish, so why are you going out there to trade this prospect? I get that. I can't argue with that at all because it makes a lot of sense because I don't have high confidence. You know, I know it's not what are the odds Wednesday, but because we are in on the Blitz, what percent chance do you give this Major League Baseball season of finishing?
Well, I said yesterday was 84%.
Was it that high yesterday?
Yeah, 84%. And feeling a little better about that as we all know the Marlins, which is now up to 17 players and coaches and staffers who have tested positive for COVID-19 for the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of baseball is zero.
Yeah.
Every other team, including the Phillies, are all at zero. So the first thing that says to me is right now it is contained to the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is if I'm Derek Jeter in the Marlins management, I am retracing a lot of steps because how the hell did it get in my clubhouse and it's not in anybody else's?
It makes a lot of sense. And also, you talk about the Phillies and how they had zero as far as players on the team. None of their players came back with a positive test as well. So it's really intriguing.
And kind of a minor miracle in and of itself when you share the field. Now, granted, for the most part, baseball is not, you're not playing close quarters like you are in the NFL, like you are in the NBA. Baseball is a lot more spaced out.
Can I give you my idea for Major League Baseball, something I would implement? You've been watching the games, obviously. There's no fans in the stand. Yes, some have the cardboard cutouts different places. But what you have seen is that they've done. Have you watched any of the NBA preseason games? I know it's not for everybody, so I'm not surprised if you haven't.
I've watched clips. Okay. I haven't watched like an entire game.
Okay, I get that. No issue there with it. I mean, NBA's back in 2 days anyway. Rockets back in 3 days. Rockets do play tonight at 7 o'clock, I believe, against the Celtics as well. So that's going to be a fun game to watch. I think Jason Tatum, it's not if but when he wins the MVP of the league, he'll retire with at least one MVP award. That's a great up-and-coming young guy. And he knows how to spell Jason right as well, which for too few.
So good job by his parents?
Yes, great job by his parents as well. But no, when you look at it, though, with baseball and where they're at, you've already seen in the stands that they've got the extended rosters spread out socially distances in the stand. If there's no fans there, I wouldn't even have them all congregate in the dugouts, because you're hearing about all the tests and all the concern is like, well, now we're going to have to go in that visiting dugout. Well, you're still going to have to go through it with my idea, but I think you're not all concentrated in this confined area. So if I'm Major League Baseball, what I implement is what they're already doing with the extra baseball players, spacing them out, but I put the manager, the players, all of them up in the stands, have them socially distanced. You can still conversate with them, go through go through those conversations like you would in a dugout, and maybe it's a little bit more widespread, but I think that's better than just having everybody, 20, 30 people, congregate in small confined areas in case you have an outbreak.
Well, interestingly enough, in the Constellation League, you know, the Skeeters and the other three teams they've put together to play out in Sugar Land, all the pitchers are in the pen, other than the guy who's on the mound at that time.
Right.
So you've got your position players and your three or four bench guys. That's the only guys in the dugout. All the other pitchers are out in the pen where they can be spaced out again. So I'll get to see tonight because obviously they don't show you that.
You'll be there at the Astros game tonight.
I will be at the Astros game.
So bird's eye view to report back tomorrow as we are back in for the Blitz again tomorrow, 4 to 7. AJ and Fred return Thursday and Friday from their vacation, and we'll move back to our usual time slot of 7 to 9 for this Thursday and Friday as well. Astros lineup just came out. Were you able to see that? No big surprises there, but we'll run through it quickly. Springer, Altuve, Bregman, Brantley. We have seen Bregman and Brantley flip this year, but I think the only time we've seen it was when the lefty started, so they moved Brantley up to the three with the lefty pitcher starting, Bregman at 4, Yuli at 5, Correa 6, Reddick 7, Kyle Tucker in that DH spot at 8 again, and Machete back in the starting lineup again. He's been one of the hottest bats. I want to say 5 for 12 with 6 RBIs in the first 3 games
of
the season.
Dude, he has been an early baseball steal for me on DraftKings.
Oh, yes. I've got Creighton hooked on DraftKings, but I just can't believe you haven't used your baseball knowledge on DraftKings. You've just been, I don't want to say wasting it, because you give it to the people here on a live microphone for over a decade now. So that's greatly appreciated. But for selfish reasons only, your knowledge, I make some nice little extra change on the side with the NBA and NFL. Baseball, I suck. I mean, I can do good with the Astros, but I suck as far as the entire Major League Baseball rosters are concerned, all the nerd graphs that you have. And you probably put in an hour for the lineup. This was your first weekend playing DraftKings. Let the listeners know how much you profit. And no, Pete Creighton and me aren't like Jerry Bowe. We're not putting $1,000 entry fees in. Jerry Bowe had a big night last night on DraftKings. Jerry
Bo has a lot of big nights.
I don't want to give
If you're a gambling person, right. You need to be following my man Jerry Bo.
Absolutely. I mean, his soccer bets are going crazy, the rest of his bets as well, but he knows sports and fantasy sports as well. And you know that if you've listened to Moneyline right here with Jerry Bo and our guy Josh Jordan every Sunday right here on ESPN 97.5. But Jerry Bo cashed big in DraftKings last night. He's been cashing for all of his followers in soccer and everything. Let's give that man a follow at Jerry Bo Knows with a Z. But your DraftKings, you're just starting and you're not doing $100 and $1,000 entries. You're doing mostly $1, maybe some $5 and $10. You'll take a chance. How much do you profit this weekend, your first weekend ever on DraftKings?
All right. So I've played 3 days. I played Thursday, Friday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I've bet like $15 game, a total of $15, so like a $10 game, a $2 game, and a few onesies.
Sure.
That's what I've played. And so far, I've won $423.40.
I've been playing fantasy baseball on DraftKings for a couple years now, probably about 3 or 4 years. I don't think I've totaled 400 in winnings. Baseball is just not it for me. I'll continue to play because I'm addicted. I think you even took a shot at me this weekend because played.
Dude, you had WNBA. He texted me a WNBA DraftKings lineup. I'm like, dude, you might have a problem.
Well, I mean, I only.
By the way, did you win?
Yes, it's the best.
And he won.
It's the best lineup I had.
And he won.
It's the best. I beat all my baseball lineups. I only took people I knew, like the fine chicks, like Skylar Diggins. Then the chicks, legacies like Sue Bird. I took the Houston chicks. You know, there's like four of the sisters. I only thought it was two. You have
the Ogumike girls.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
they're all amazing.
One signed with ESPN. The oldest one is I took the oldest one in the WNBA.
She's a multi-time MVP.
The third sister, who I think went to Rice, has now been drafted into the WNBA.
Erica.
And they have another younger sister. The fourth sister is also, I think she's at Rice, and she'll probably be. I mean, that's a hell of a family. And that second sister that's on ESPN, she's fine as hell.
Erica,
if she was looking for a baby,
has been like Conference USA Player of the Year.
Yeah.
She's a big star. At Rice, that team is really good. She's going to be a player.
Mm. My God, he is white. That's the only thing. I look down
again?
I look down at the Twitch stream.
How many years have you been here?
Doing radio in Houston, 10 years.
Now, do you think that they're saying, my God, he's white, that you are, in fact, Caucasian? Or that I am, like, literally pushing Casper levels.
Yeah, I think we're both there. Haven't really been in the sun lately, so we both got that vampire look. We're going to have to hit a break.
It's the Blitz.
This is the Blitz, on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patrick and Jason in for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. On the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter. At P. Creighton 1, at Jason Braddock, at Late Hitters, at Aaron is Blitz. Make sure you're following at Aaron is Blitz.
A couple questions on the Twitch, and then we'll go ahead and catch up text. And if you want to get on the phone call, as you said as well, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. That's the text line. That's the phone line. We'll get all that caught up as well. On the Twitch, though, got a couple questions that are coming in. Any chance on some conspiracy-ish that Major League Baseball is liking the Astros scandal, a new villain?
That baseball is liking it? No. That kind of negativity, that's not good for the game. And nobody within the game will tell you it is. It's not. They don't want their game being sullied in every media outlet all day long. They know how the negativity rolls in our society. They don't want any part of that. At the same time, because the Astros are scoring damn near 8 runs a game.
7.25, touchdown a game.
Now, keep in mind, the highest scoring team in the history of baseball is the 31 Yankees.
What was it?
6.93 runs per game. That's the highest scoring team in the history of baseball. Modern era, we don't count before 1900.
Follow-up question. Why do they allow the cheating in the foundation of the sport? I mean, that's what you've been asking for. Like, you've well-documented over 120 years of sign-stealing.
And that's it. Baseball, historically, doesn't care if you cheat. They don't. If you get caught, you get punished.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. Something that I had put up, because we were talking about different things at baseball, and I mentioned Ford Frick as the commissioner and why the asterisk came about with 61, because Ford Frick was Babe Ruth's ghostwriter, and he was trying to protect Babe Ruth's legacy, so he didn't want Roger Maris to break the home run record. So hence the asterisk for the different number of games. The spitball, which essentially is a fastball that acts like a knuckleball, because you're throwing it as hard as a fastball, but because you can slide the ball off your fingers instead of having to get the rotation on the ball, it dances like a knuckleball. So imagine 94-mile-an-hour knuckleballs.
Mm.
Back in 1920, Ray Chapman became the only person to ever be killed in a baseball game when he was hit in the head by a pitch from Carl Mays.
Okay.
It was a spitball, and it hit him right in the temple, and he died.
Wow.
After
what year was that?
1920.
How do you even know that? I mean, like, are you just like Googling last player to die from a baseball?
Well, no, he's
the
only player to die in a game.
Well, so he'd be the last player.
Then. Yes. That season, baseball outlawed the spitball, but grandfathered in 17 pitchers that had already been throwing it.
Mm-hmm.
So they made a rule that said, if you're already cheating, you can continue to cheat for the duration of your career.
That is awesome. That's so baseball, though.
Of those 17 pitchers, 3 are in the Hall of Fame.
Nice. Well played. Well played, baseball. I mean, they've kept up that as par for the course throughout history, except with steroids, now, which is just weird to me.
More fun because of Ford Frick. In 1955, Ford Frick, who was
which you said was the ghostwriter for Babe Ruth, right?
I found that out yesterday. He originally was a sports writer.
Okay.
And then after his career as a sports writer, he became the PR person for the National League, then became NL president, then became commissioner of Major League Baseball. As commissioner of Major League Baseball in 1955, he advocated for the return of the spitball.
Did he?
He advocated for it. He was overruled.
My type of dude.
By the owners. The owners didn't allow it. But he wanted to bring the spitball back.
All right. Couple more questions for you. Well, these two, let's pair these from Hugo together because I like them both together. Any chance we see a bench clearing brawl in one of these next two games?
Not at obviously all.
Obviously with the Dodgers. And he follows that up with which Astro would charge the mound if hit. Charging the mound, Jordan Alvarez if he was in the lineup. That's my pick. I mean, that's your left-handed Frank Thomas there. That pitcher's taking off running like a little girl if Jordan starts chasing the mound. As far as bench clearing brawl, Dre seems to agree with you. It's not going to happen at all. The reason I say it wouldn't happen, I would lean that way at 51% to 49%, is because of COVID. That's the only reason I think it wouldn't happen. Outside of that, if an Astro batter gets hit, I'm going to say two. If two Astro batters get hit in the same game, or if one Astro batter gets hit and the Astros do what we think they would here in Houston and retaliate with the next batter, outside of COVID, I absolutely think this would set up for a fight with all the offseason back and forth comments, all the shots the Dodgers had. And just a reminder, I know we've thrown it out a lot over the last, 6 months now, but the Dodgers whining about losing a World Series when they haven't won one in 30-something years? 32 years. What is the Kirk Gibson over Dennis Eckersley, right?
Yep.
The limp around the bases. Okay, I remember that, obviously, with the A's fan, being an A's fan as a kid. But I don't think it happens because COVID, but I'm not as sold as you and Dre on it not happening. I actually think there's a lot of animosity here. But to the bitches, the L.A. bitches, I do want to say, and hopefully you're in town and listening, please, especially you, Cody Ballinger, you John Olerud-looking bitch, you got to stop. Y'all had a World Series with home field advantage against the Astros. You went 2-2 at home. 2-2 at home. You lost your home field advantage there, and you went 1-2 on the road. The World Series wasn't stolen. You lost it at home.
It's hard to hit the baseball when both of your hands are firmly wrapped around your own neck. Choking, Jason.
I got it. Choking. I got it. That was was that your Dodgers or Kershaw shot?
Both, actually. Okay. As far as the benches clearing brawl, that's not happening because they go to a brawl, they're going to get suspended 5 games, 6 games, 10 games. Season's only 60 games long. Nobody can afford to be out of the lineup that long. It does put you at risk for COVID-19.
Yes.
And just winning is more important than starting a fight. Now, does that mean next year there wouldn't be a fight? Oh, next year there'd be a brawl. This year there will not be a brawl.
I feel like everything we've been saying over the last 6 months is finally coming to the light. One of my followers, who's been following me for a while, Michael Schwab, you saw the report he put out. We'll have more on that later if you have it.
He will probably join us later on this week.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. I was about to say, do you want to reach out to Michael? Because, I mean, dude's an awesome guy. He's done his own internet sleuth down here in Houston. I knew this would happen. I didn't know it would be a guy that I knew, but I knew a fan in Houston would see what John Boy did as an internet, internet. Basically, he was a troll. But taking that fame to where you've pointed out the voice of the Yankees brings him on a show and makes him a household name. So, yes, we're turn around is fair play, right? Is that the saying? So we'll get Michael on.
I talked to Michael today.
Nice.
And he had said to me he wasn't going to be able to make it work in the schedule today. But we'll look to have him on at some point this week so he can talk about all the sleuthing that he has done regarding the Astros. We'll talk about the Yankees. We'll talk about that a little bit later on as well because there was really interesting interaction after Michael started putting this stuff out on Twitter yesterday. One of them from a New York writer, a big writer from New York.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that. A little bit later on, because I found that to be very interesting, the comments that the writer had, not just about the Yankees, but about Major League Baseball and the history of the video that's being shown. If you're an Astros fan, you're probably going to be furious. Because as someone who is born and raised a Met fan, but became a Met fan at a young age. My parents don't really like baseball. But somebody who was a Met fan at a very young age came here, follows the Astros very closely to his face, my favorite sport. I'm furious as a Met fan, and I'm furious as an Astro. As an Astro reporter, I'm furious.
I'm not furious because we've been covering this well for 6 months. So much so at the first month, 2 months, 3 months, and then it's been trickling down over the last 3 or 4 months where people are finally starting to open their eyes to what we've been saying for 6-7 months, especially my co-host Pete Creighton, all the research you put into it. Now you're starting to have people, first 2-3 months of us saying, I'm not being a water carrier for Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred. This is a BS report. The Astros are the fall guy. Why? And we got called what you would expect. Oh, Houston homers, they'll take up. This is the worst scandal ever. And now over the last 3 months, we're seeing it peak and start coming back down. Like, wait a second. The Yankees did what? Major League Baseball's covering up what? Now there's this video. Oh, the Red Sox, you guys were absolutely right. They said it was coming out in a week, and they backed it up a couple months till the only thing happening in the sports world, the NFL draft happened, and then they dropped it in the middle of the NFL draft. We're going to keep covering it, and we're not going to let it go. Throw out whatever names you want to, but it's a BS report, and the Astros were the fall guys. Throw up your 2017 rings and put the middle finger in the air on the other hand.
Or you can put the middle finger on the end in both hands, which is also perfectly acceptable. I'll have more with the Astros and the Dodgers. What's going on with them next?
She just getting deep. Okay. I tell her, chill, don't catch no fish, cause all I do is kiss.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
So something that I tweeted out last night, you know, with the number of Astros pitchers dealing with elbow injuries and guys who are unavailable, don't be surprised if Fernando Rodney wound up signing with the Astros.
Yeah, I retweeted that last night, and so you were all over that, first all over that, and so kudos to you for that. I also want to give you a little bit more kudos. Lamont tweeted in, he said, it's amazing P. Creighton does not work in baseball.
Seriously, somebody give me a baseball job.
Lamont, I couldn't agree with you more, 100%. I mean, he does call Sugarland games and everything else, but this guy should be in Major League Baseball. He should be calling games. You've been calling games, football games, baseball games, all of it. You of age, Rice, a little bit of everywhere. So how you're not in Major League Baseball with your passion, knowledge, and talent for it, it's just silliness. But it all goes back to who you know instead of what you know. But I just want to give you a little kudos on that, because I love everybody finally, you know, not finally seeing, but I think over the last year, you've really blossomed with people understanding that you're the voice of baseball in Houston, in my opinion. I'm not overstating that.
I appreciate that. I'll make sure we take you out for another steak.
All right.
Got to keep paying those bills.
Well, if I lose the bet. Well, I don't think I'm going to lose any bets this year, because I don't think football happens. I'm not siding with Richard Sherman, but we'll get into that later in the show.
So Fernando Rodney made his first appearance in the Constellation League
on
Sunday.
43-year-old Fernando Rodney.
Yes. He of 327 career saves in 17 seasons. Pitched an inning on Sunday night for the Skeeters. You see the Astros need a ton of, need arms.
Mm-hmm.
He's already in town.
Right, it just
obviously
makes sense.
Just passed the physical to play for the
Absolutely.
Skeeters. So, made sense that the guy who's 30 miles away from the stadium. Now, he's been signed to a minor league contract, according to Mark Berman, Fox 26. They're signing him to a minor league contract. He's going to go down to Corpus and, you know, get himself ready. Because I can tell you, you know, having watched him pitched on Sunday, he's not ready to face major league hitters yet. He still has stuff. He just wasn't, it was his first outing, so he wasn't real sharp yet. But here's a guy who pitched last season in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't pitch great. He had moments up and down. But look, for what the Astros are right now, they need veteran arms. They need arms.
All right, let me say it this way. I understand bringing him in. I don't have any expectations for him at all. Anything you get from him is a plus, and I mean anything.
No, and that's why he's going down to Corpus
sure.
to – you know, probably take a week or two to get his arm ready. And then if they continue to need pitchers, so they have so many guys who are down with elbow injuries right now.
The Dodgers are hurt. And that's the thing. When people just ejected on the Astro season, Verlander, when Chandler Rome sent that tweet out, I got so many texts and saw so many tweets, season's over, season's over. I'm like, no, look around baseball, because this is going to be the norm this year. And football, if they try to have the NFL take place, it's going to be the norm. Go back and look at the season after the lockout. What was that, 2011? You had all these rookie quarterbacks come in, the defensive play. There were stats aplenty, but that's because the defense had zero chance to have any chemistry and be on the same page so the offense could just throw it up. I think that was the year. Wasn't the lockout the year Cam was drafted number one, and then Cam, who out of college was one of the most inaccurate passers, and kudos to him for developing his game more as a pro and becoming MVP caliber player, going to a Super Bowl. But his first game out, I want to say he threw like for 450 yards almost, one of the most inaccurate passers at that point ever. But what it had to do is something we're going to see a lot of this year. There will be no chemistry on any defense in the NFL this year. 49ers that went to the Super Bowl last year, yes, I include them as well. You cannot get on the same page with unpadded practices. And so with baseball, it's going to continue to be sloppy. You've seen it here in Houston, but look outside of Houston. Kershaw, down. Price, opted out. Wood, down. Losing Verlander does not mean the Astros are out for the season.
No, I mean, look, it does make it hard because, you know, you were counting on him to give you 12 starts and
sure.
probably give you something around 80 innings
mm-hmm.
of elite pitched ball this year. And you're not going to get somebody who can replace the performance of Justin Verlander.
You don't need to.
Can you replace enough of
yes.
it and continue? I mean, look, to average over 7 runs a game in baseball has never been done. But we're only playing a 60-game season. So you're talking about being hot for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we saw a couple of years ago when the Astros had, like, 4 starters on the injured list all at the same time.
Right.
And they scored 9 runs a game for a month.
Exactly.
So that they could win. It's obviously, you can't sustain that kind of offense. But in a season where there wasn't a lot of spring training time, a lot of guys are not fully ramped up yet. Pitchers are going to have shoulder injuries and elbow injuries like crazy because they tried to get ready too quickly. And then that's one of the things, like, you think about, like, Greinke.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Greinke doesn't throw all that hard anymore. But he was throwing really soft the other day. Greinke knows his body. He didn't have his stuff. He wasn't sharp. They got him out of there. If you are a guy who throws hard and, you know, you're not quite ready, you go out there, your first mentality is, you know what, I don't have my breaking ball today. I'm just going to blast it past him.
And for Astros pitchers, to kind of paint for the mind's eye, in case you haven't watched a ton of Greinke starting his career his little time in Houston, I think it's a fair comparison. Not saying they're the same player, not even pitching the left hand, right hand. I mean, different arms. But as far as what you're saying, not being overpowering with the fastball and having to pinpoint, put it in the right place, more of, for a guy that was here in Houston, Dallas Keuchel.
Right. See, Dallas Keuchel.
Ground ball getter.
He had one season.
Yeah.
Where, for unknown reasons, his fastball kicked 93, 94, and he won a Cy Young.
Yeah.
Normally, he threw 90, maybe 91.
And he, what got him out was just his pinpoint accuracy when he was locked in, and also all the ground balls. I remember so many times he'd get in a jam, and you're like, all right, double play next.
And Greinke kind of pitches the same way.
Yes.
He changes speeds. He's all around the strike zone. He makes you swing the bat, and he changes speeds. And when he will change speeds from throwing, say, 89 to 91 with a fastball normally, throwing curveballs in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
you know, he changes so many different speeds because he's trying to induce weak contact. So he's not trying to blow it past you. He wants you to hit it, but he's going to mess up your timing to the point where, you know, you roll one over.
Right.
And that's his whole game. So from that aspect, he's got to know when he's ready. A guy who throws harder, they're going to try to throw hard. And if you're not really ready to throw hard yet, that's how you get hurt.
And for our basketball listeners, the comparison I heard for Greinke, Kobe, when I told you, I kind of got into that wormhole the other day watching a bunch of the Kobe Bryant details. And I was watching the one on Harden, on Giannis, all these different ones. On one of those, he took time out to talk about Scottie Pippen. He was critiquing Steph Curry's defense on Harden, how much better he can get and how he should play him. And he said what defenders have to do, what Kobe would do, and probably one of the best at doing it, Kobe said, was Scottie Pippen. He said even on the defensive side, Scottie would dictate to you what you are going to do. I'm going to make you drive right. I'm going to make you drive left. I'm going to make you take this shot. As the defender, he would dictate that. And that's kind of what these pitchers that aren't overpowering arms have to do in baseball as well.
You've got to outthink.
Yes.
And this is one of the things I love about baseball.
Chess.
The thinking man's yes. game. Every pitch is a chess move. Every pitch sets up another pitch that's 3, 4, 6 pitches into the future.
Right.
What I throw to you in this at bat is going to set you up for me for what I'm going to throw to you in your next at bat.
Exactly.
I know how I want to pitch you based on nobody on base, guy on first, runners on the corners. Different situations, I'm going to pitch you differently. I already know this. And, you know, like mostly, first year that I ever pitched, I was 13. And my coach back then, who had played minor league ball, said to me, he's like, on every 3 and 4 hitter you face, I want you to bust them in twice and then put the next one or outside off the plate.
Like the field of dreams line. You remember the field of dreams line? What was the guy's name that was the old doc and never got the bat in a professional game? So when he came to Iowa, the field of dreams, he got the bat and he came up. Shoeless Joe comes up and talked to him. It was one of his idols as a kid. And he tells him, he's like, all right, I forget what the pitch count, but it was similar. He like threw too high and tight, right? And he said, all right, so he's throwing you too high and tight. What's coming next? He's like, well, either low and away or in my ear. You know, so that's that scenario you're talking
about. And low and away is exactly what we were taught to feel. You get them 0-2, low and away. And after, you know, kids used to seeing that ball come in, and then you throw one that goes off the plate, they go fish. And not that I was necessarily throwing hard enough to blow it past anybody, sure. But if you've got to reach across the plate and hit it off the end of the bat, you're hitting a little number down to second base or grounding one out to first. You're getting some weak contact.
Now Holly is in the Twitch stream.
Oh, Holly's in the
Dre's in the Twitch stream. Holly's in the Chewy. Lou. Oh, man, we're just bringing them all over. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. If Twitch is not your thing, you can still interact with the show at PCreighton1, at Jason Braddock, at Aaron is Blitzed, and for the show at Late Hitters as well. On the phone line and the text line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Again, on the Twitch, you get, while we're sitting in for the Blitz anyway, you get another extra 30 minutes of content. Put your questions in the Twitch during the break, and we'll answer them unedited.
All right, we'll wrap up with the Astros next.
Voodoo's too good of a word, but lust ain't that more like the name of her.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. All right, before we get back into the late hits version of The Blitz, we'll be back in tomorrow as well. Fred and AJ return this Thursday and Friday, and we return back to late hits 7 to 9 p.m. this Thursday and Friday as well. So you got one more day of late hit Blitz. A lot of people chiming in on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, and they're calling out Lamont. They're saying he's the only thing missing from the Twitch stream. So Lamont, get over there, twitch.tv/ESPN975. The people are clamoring for you. All right, before we get back into the show, let me tell you about Dr. Ben Salento and his state-of-the-art facilities located right here in North Houston, Texas Sinus and Snoy. Y'all know my issues if you listen to late hits for even an episode.
And last, there are many.
Very, very true. Last 20 years, I've dealt with sinus infection, headaches, all of it. Had sinus surgery 2003 in Charlotte, North Carolina. Balloon sinuplasty 2017 right here in Houston. But it wasn't until 2019 when I met one Dr. Ben Salento, went out to Texas Sinus and Snoy, and took a quick tour of his state-of-the-art facilities, was blown away. But what really blew me away was the personalization Dr. Ben Salento gives all of his clients, not just me, not just Patrick Creighton. Went out there, had me put on the sinus CT scan machine, brought the imaging immediately back to the room, put it up on the big screen in the room. And Dr. Salento himself, this means a lot to me. Not one of his interns or assistants, but Dr. Salento took the entire time to explain everything to me in layman's terms for the first time in my life, even before any surgery I ever had. This was the first time somebody explained to me that I had 100% appreciation and understanding of what was going to happen. Had the surgery a week later, he took out this infection that neither the surgery in 03 or 2017, those doctors felt comfortable getting chores, completely reset all of my sinus issues. Wish I would have done it 20 years prior. That's why Dr. Salento and the people at Texas Sinus and Snoran say, break the cycle and breathe. It's the best decision I made. I can't say decision, though. It's the best decision my co-host Pete Creighton made. It'll be the best decision you made. So break the cycle and breathe. Go set up a consultation by visiting Texas Sinus and Snoran. That's TexasSinusAndSnoran.com.
Or give them a call, 346-413-9313, 346-413-9313. You don't have to live with sinus infections or sinus pain. You don't have to live with snoring. You don't have to live with sleep apnea. You do need to call Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring, 346-413-9313. You know who to tell him sent you.
All right, Twitch is still streaming. We also got text, phone calls, everything coming in. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. That gets you in on the phone line to join the show, gets you in on the text line. If you just want to shoot a quick text to the show, we can talk about on air. And on the Twitch, not only can you interact live during the show, you can also interact unedited during the break. Get another 30 minutes of the Blitz, not only today, not only tomorrow, but when Fred and AJ return as well.
So the lineup you're going to get from the Astros today is probably going to be the base lineup until Yordan Alvarez is ready to return. Brantley, Springer, Reddick across the outfield.
That's what's so crazy, though. We haven't even talked about it. You did touch on last season how so many stars were missing out the lineup throughout the year and all the runs they still put up. Astros are averaging a touchdown a game, over a touchdown a game with the extra points. 7.25 a game, run scored a game through four games. Jordan Alvarez hasn't played yet. Diaz went down on DH. Tucker's starting to find his groove. And with the lack of extra base hit and key positions on this roster, and I didn't even mention, George Springer started the year, what, 1-for-11?
1-for-16
now. 1-for-16 now. I forgot even to add in last night's game. That's on me. I got to do better. Springer's not starting hot. Altuve, he's getting the walks, but the batting average isn't where you typically see.
He does have 7 runs scored, yes, though, which I think leads baseball.
Yeah, those walks are big. But we're talking about probably the best team as it correlates with eye. Alex Bregman has the best eye in baseball, in my opinion. Altuve is not too far behind him. You've got a couple guys up and down that roster that will be picky hitters. And I think Tucker, again, I know we're all cautiously optimistic after the TED talk early in his career, the struggles at times. But I think Kyle Tucker, man, what he's doing with the extra base hits, man, he's just a natural gapper. You know, so those doubles are going to come in a multitude. Then the home run power is there. And you combine that speed, because you talked about something that was missing a lot last year with Jake Mariznick leading the team in stolen bases. I think you said it was either 9 or 10.
10. 10 steals.
And Tucker's got that speed, 30-30 guy in the minors last year. That's a welcome addition, especially when you're talking about resetting that lineup at 8 and what Machete has done early on. Even if you only get half of that from Machete at 9 and what Tucker's doing, it's the most dangerous lineup in baseball.
Now, I told you, you know, Machete's been one of my favorite DraftKings guys because he's cheap. And he's hitting .455. He's got 6 RBIs.
He's $2,300 tonight because he's going against the Dodgers. And I'm like, the dude's the best, most consistent hitter on the Astros right now. All right, let me make sure I throw that in there before somebody cuts that clip out and they just stop right there.
My other
Jason Braddock said Machete was better than Bregman and Altuve. You know it would happen.
Well, yes, that's true. My other, another guy that I have on DraftKings who's very cheap and has been performing like a
Brantley.
Champion. Michael Brantley.
What's he now?
.467 with 6 RBIs.
What's his DraftKings price for tonight? Do you remember? I know he was
I have him in my lineup, so
he started at 4,000.
He's not even that.
And then the second game was 4,000. Then he dropped, just like Machete. Machete started at like 3,300, dropped to 27, and now because the Dodgers they're playing the Dodgers, he's at 2,300 tonight. If he just gives me like one double.
Michael Brantley is $2,800.
That's it. Brantley. Clean up hitter for the Astro is $2,800. I mean, if he hits you an RBI double or a home run, you've already made your nut.
And that lets you go out and get other bigger bats. Like the other day, remember I told you I won like almost $300. Well, Nelly Cruz had like
52.
Points.
Oh, it went up to 59. I know he had like two home runs, six or something.
Yeah,
it was insane.
Insane day.
And the Astros were in on him and the Woodlands kid last year. Help me out. Paul Goldschmidt. They were rumored to be in either on Paul Goldschmidt or Nelson Cruz. They decided to go other way with their allotment of money and everything. But man, imagine adding that bat. Nelson Cruz led the decade in baseball and home runs from 2010 to 2019. No player hit more home runs in baseball.
Only busted for steroids once?
Well, you know.
You know what? They're all doing
it. Well, sign stealing's worse than steroids, right? I mean, that's why all those Astros hit 73 homers last year.
Yeah, and hit like 397.
And 66.
absolutely happen.
Altuve had what his like one of his worst years ever. Injuries all through the lineup. Astros still go to the World Series and almost win a World Series. Nobody talks about it. It's like if the Astros win Game 7, we're talking about how they won the World Series last year. But because they lose Game 7 or lost all of their home games in that series, everybody acts like it doesn't happen. Well, the Astros 2017, that scandal. Yeah, that World Series not legit. Did you not watch baseball in 2019? They had every injury hit them. Everything that could happen.
You're trying to use facts.
Yeah, I know.
And logic.
Right.
And the internet frowns upon facts.
Fair enough.
And logic.
That's true.
We have to go with lies.
Okay.
And propaganda.
Yeah. Cody Bellinger has a buzzer in his ass. You didn't hear about it. I saw a document.
It was probably put there by
He was on
mother.
First base. Look, I can shoot you the video. He's on first base adjusting his crotch and around
by
the rectal.
Lover, I mean,
he's saying it's a wedgie. I think it's a butt buzzer.
You think it was put there by Seager or by Max Muncy?
I think knowing Bellinger, he probably had the fan base shoes. They did a drawing in L.A. really big into the butt buzzers
out
there. I thought
you were going to say they just shoved two of them up there.
Probably so. Just one for a safe keep.
But this lineup, I think this is the lineup we're going to see for
you got
the
a
most
question.
Part until Alvarez is here. We have
yeah.
a question?
And what comes in on Alvarez, a perfect timing there. Two more weeks before Jordan arrives or longer. Follow that up with Dre, who says, Dusty, as manager, do you see the Astros running more as a team? Go either way you want to.
I would tell you that it might not be a full 2 weeks before we see Jordan. Mm. It's just a matter of once he gets his – he feels like he has his timing because he's not going to play the field.
Right.
Once he feels like he has his timing, they're going to bring him up.
Okay.
So if it doesn't take a full 2 weeks, then they won't wait the full 2 weeks.
Urquidy or Alvarez? Who's up first? Alvarez?
Alvarez.
Just because of getting the arm right, everything.
They got to get Urquidy ready to throw five innings. Which is different than, you know, getting him to throw an inning or two in relief. They got to get him ready to start.
Especially when you're talking about Alvarez just DHing.
That's it. His job is go up there and mash.
Yeah, it's batting practice for you.
You know, you don't have to run real fast if you hit the ball over the wall.
Till Alvarez comes back, I like seeing Tucker in that DH role, especially at the bottom of the lineup. And then we'll see if Reddick can stay hot. I got to say, I never liked the old Reddick look. I like the new Reddick look. And for some reason, cutting the mullet or whatever you want to call it, he looks more like a wrestler now than ever before. You know, he's got that whole WWE vibe.
Doesn't have that whole greasy long hair thing.
Nah, I was never for that. Him or Colby Rasmus.
Based on the way the Astros are and the fact that I think that as a heavily analytics-based team, I don't think that's going to change. I don't think they're going to run a lot. But I do think they will run more than they did last year when they practically didn't run at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the second guy, the number two guy in steals was Miles Straw, and he barely played.
Right.
So I think that they will run slightly more, but grand scheme of things, they're not going to run a lot.
5 o'clock hour coming up. What do you got for him?
Too many big bats. Coming up next... Are you ready for we teased about this a little bit earlier. When a writer says no, but a player says yes.
Still rape.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.